The history of Birmingham's civil rights era has been well trod, but a little-known legal case from Bessemer adds new perspective. It involves Caliph Washington, a 17-year-old African-American accused of murdering a white police officer in 1957. What follows is a 13-year legal journey that bounced Washington around the system, facing the electric chair multiple times. Samford University history professor Jonathan Bass chronicles the story in his new book, He Calls Me by Lightning. In the book, he describes the incident that sparked the whole thing. Late at night, an untrained Lipscomb police officer, James Cowboy Clark, chased, shot at, and then pulled over Caliph Washington as he drove home from a date. Clark was acting on a tip of an illegal bootlegger.
Clark got out of the patrol car, stomped up angrily, according to Caliph, and began asking him, demanding Caliph tell him where the whiskey was. And Caliph calmly said, I don't know what you're talking about. Clark demanded that Caliph get out of the car, which Caliph complied. Clark led Caliph around to the back door of the police car. According to Caliph, Clark grew very angry and pulled his pistol out to begin pistol whipping Caliph. They began tussling over the gun. The gun discharged. The bullet hits the side of patrol car number 13. The bullet ricochets off of the chrome, enters Clark's body at a very odd angle, and just slices his aorta. He will be dead within 15 to 20 minutes.
Caliph Washington runs away. There's a manhunt. He's brought back to Alabama, and then he goes to trial for the first time a few months later. Give us a sense of all the things that he faced legally as this rolled out really over the next 13, 14 years?
Being poor and being African American was a deadly combination in terms of your ability to get quality legal representation. His court-appointed attorney, he doesn't have a great reputation. His reputation is essentially an ambulance chaser. He does have the assistance of two of Alabama's most prominent African-American attorneys. It's very frustrating going through those trial transcripts, and the evidence is so clear. The attorney is not connecting the dots that you feel like you want to jump in there and argue this case because it's so clear what the evidence is and what the evidence suggests that this is not first-degree murder.
So you have these issues of poor representation, the makeup of the jury. There's issues around this supposed voluntary confession that Washington makes. That's all in the mix through the course of three trials. He's sentenced to death.
One of the great ironies in this story is that the person that really saves his life is Governor George Wallace. And I look at Wallace's views on the death penalty and was very surprised how opposed to the death penalty he seemed to be. Caliph received 13 stays of execution. And then on the opportunity for a 14th stay of execution, Wallace denies it for whatever reason. Caliph gets within just a few hours of his electrocution. And ultimately, federal judge Frank Johnson is going to order a stay on the execution. Through that process, Caliph Washington is very much a changed man.
Well, jumping to the end of the legal process, he is convicted in a third trial. That's overturned by the federal courts, but it still leaves the prospect of a fourth trial looming out there that never happened. Do you have any sense of how that looming prospect of a trial affected him?
That hangs over him, but it doesn't stop him from becoming a minister. He buys a really large van, a Dodge Maxi wagon, in the early 1970s, and he begins driving around through the neighborhoods in South Bessemer, stopping and talking to young black men, sharing his experience, sharing a salvation message, works with scores of youth over the next 20, 30 years of helping get young men off the street.
When you look at the legal ordeal that Caliph Washington went through, what do we take away from that?
What was really missing from the narrative of the history of the civil rights movement was what did average black citizens face if they were accused of committing a crime, especially of committing a crime against a white person? How did the Jim Crow system of, quote-unquote justice operate from the moment a crime is committed, from police investigation, from arrest, arraignment? What are your court-appointed attorneys like? What is the trial like? What is the sentencing like? What is the appeals process like? And so this is very much a bottom-up history through the eyes of this teenage African-American man whose story reveals so much about how Jim Crow operated from the local all the way up to the state Supreme Court.
That's Samford University history professor Jonathan Bass. He'll talk about his book, He Calls Me by Lightning, Tuesday afternoon at the Alabama Booksmith in Homewood. You can also hear much more from Bass in an extended interview, including a Bessemer connection to the Gambino crime family. That's at our website, wbhm.org.